Everybody knew that it could happen. The likelihood was clear, the future was coming. And now it's here. They had to fix the levees, because otherwise they'd break. On one side was the city, above it was the lake. It was in the daily papers, in bold letters was the writ. What would happen when the big one hit? But every year they cut the funding just a little more, so they could give it to the army to fight their oil war. National Geographic and the Times-Picayune, they forecast the apocalypse, said it was coming soon. Preparations must be made, they said, now is the time. It was years ago, they shouted, inaction was a crime. They said the dikes must be improved and the wetlands must be saved. But Washington decided instead they should be paved, cause malls were more important than people's lives. So put some gold dust in your eyes and hope no storm arrives. New Orleans, New Orleans, New Orleans. Years and years of warning, no evacuation plan. It was just if the waters rose, get out if you can. There were no buses, no one chartered any trains. There was no plan to rescue all of those who would remain. All the people with no money, all the people with no wheels, all of those who couldn't hotwire one that they could steal. Thousands and thousands of people abandoned by the state, abandoned by their country, just left to meet their fate. New Orleans, New Orleans, New Orleans. And the people died. Then they died some more. They drowned inside their attics, an army of the poor. An army of the destitute who couldn't get away. And the world will remember those sad and awful days when people shouted from their houses, dying on their roofs. When people came to find them, they were turned back by the troops. They died there with no water. They died there in the heat. They were shot down by the soldiers for trying to find some food to eat. New Orleans, New Orleans, New Orleans. The city is in ruins, a massive toxic sea scattered through the nation. 500,000 refugees, here we are, in the richest country on the earth, where the color of your skin determines what your life is worth. Where oil is the king, where global warming is ignored, where the very end of life is the place we're heading towards. Where it's more than just a metaphor, the flooding of the dike. And if we don't stop this madness, the whole world will be like New Orleans, New Orleans, New Orleans, New Orleans, New Orleans, New Orleans.
If we're going to use it, we should turn it up a little, huh? Make it, you know, this might be some people who have tinnitus or something and need hearing aids or something.
Here it comes, flying down the center lane, like a cross between a tank and some kind of trackless train. Towering over anything with only four wheels to the pavement, cruising from shore to shore. Radar on the dashboard and the red, white, and blue streams from the antenna and the bumper stickers too. 4 tons of molten metal just to get a cup of coffee, ready for the battle and whatever suburb it may be. It's another Hummer humming down the highway. Soldier changes tires, stranded by the road. Maybe that yellow ribbon is some kind of secret code, cause the Hummer drives on by,
with a passing stare, saying I support the troops, but don't expect me to care. It's another Hummer humming down the highway. The gallon, all the way to the shopping mall. How to say fuck you to the Kyoto Protocol. The only thing it's missing is a machine gun turret, but it still looks to me like a military target. It's another Hummer humming down the highway. As an effort, in an effort to be a good American and to do something preemptive, I decided to engage in preemptive songwriting and wrote this song based on my prediction of events that are about to unfold sometime in the next few years. And that prediction is based on innumerable conversations with people returning from Iraq who were just in the military. And the song is called Halliburton Boardroom Massacre. It's the title track of my upcoming CD. I joined the army when high school was through. I didn't know what else to do. Thought I'd take care of that traveling Jones and maybe take out some student loans. They sent me away to the land of the dead where I didn't know a word that they said. I got shot at a lot, I was nearly toast, but it's the ones I killed that hurts the most. Most of the time I didn't know what was going on. The rest of the time I knew there was something going wrong. Every reason we were there turned out to be a lie. I thought of that each time I saw another person die. A year. They sent me for 4. By the time I got back home, no one knew me anymore. Of the man I once was, there didn't seem to be a trace. And when I looked me in the mirror, I didn't recognize my face. I wasn't home too long before the time that I took ill. It was like the air was thick as mud, and I ate enough to kill. I didn't know I'd been fighting in a nuclear war. DU was in my blood, and I was knocking on death's door. I can't tell you how it felt. Be betrayed at every turn, like the earth was spinning backwards, like my heart began to burn, like I had to do something while I still had the strength to stand, while I still could run with a machine gun in my hand. And the military brass and the things they get away with all for their ruling class. But I'm not a pawn and I can't just let it be. And if I'm gonna die, I'm gonna take some of them fuckers with me. I'll spare you the details. I did what I had to do. There's a boardroom blown to hell, and soon I will be too. You can say I lost it, you can say that I'm insane, but may no one ever say that my death was in vain. I joined the army when high school was through. I didn't know what else to do. Thank you. So they're doing Camp Casey Part 2 in about just about a month from today in Crawford, Texas. Casey was a good boy, treated people well. His mama loved him, anyone could tell. She'd send him off to school, pack his lunch with care, and when he came back home, she hugged him with her fingers in his hair. Cindy, she loved Casey, and when all is said and done, she is every mother, and he was every mother's son. And when Casey was a little older, He spent his time each week in that church in Vacaville, in the service of the meek, in the service of his city, in the service of the Lord, with his mama in the pews, all the time they could afford. If their love alone could save us, then the world would be one. She is every mother, and he was every mother's son. People thought the priesthood was where he'd someday be, so some folks were surprised when he joined the army. The recruiter told him he wouldn't have to fight. Cindy hoped this was the case and prayed for him every night. That was before they sent him to the desert with a gun. She is every mother, and he was every mother's son. His truck had no armor, and when it came under fire, it and half the soldiers in it became a funeral pyre. Cindy, she was sleeping the moment Casey died, and she knew she'd never see him standing by her side. There was no consolation, no safe place she could run. She is every mother, and he was every mother's son. The president, he told her, he died for a noble cause. Now Cindy's wondering exactly what that was, 'cause they never found the weapons. And now that Casey's gone, it seems that oil is the game, and Casey was the pawn. Cindy's got some questions, yes, and so does everyone. She is every mother, and he was every mother's son. Let's see. Maybe I'll do a song I haven't learned yet at all. Really haven't learned it at all. Can I get you to hold that? But
I've got
yeah, exactly. Given that this is being recorded by folks involved with Earth First Radio programming, it seems like the appropriate place to debut this song, which I just wrote a week ago after my friend Rod Coronado was arrested in Tucson for giving a speech. And it was one of those things where he broke a law that was passed under Clinton. Thank you, Clinton, in 1997, in one of these anti-terrorist laws. And in the law, it said that if you describe how an explosive device works and advocate its use in carrying out some kind of an action, you have broken the law, and you could serve 25 years in prison. People who read the Constitution may think that the First Amendment actually allows you to advocate whatever you want as long as you don't actually do it, but that's not actually the case, apparently, anymore. It hasn't been tested in the courts, but the law's on the books, and he's been threatened with that sentence. And all he did was, in a question and answer period, a student asked, so how was it that you did that arson in 1992 for which you were arrested and served 4 years in prison? Having been arrested and served 4 years in prison, he figures he can talk about what he's done, you know, what time for. And he said, well, I took a bunch of gasoline, poured it on the floor, and lit a match. And that was breaking the law, because he was describing how an explosive device works, you know. And of course, if you've ever watched television on any given day, you've seen somebody burn something down in exactly that manner. So it's a very easy law to break, and we all have the opportunity right now to break it together in the chorus. And you don't even have to know the whole song. Just the chorus itself explains how to do it, expresses intent, and says that we are in fact going to do it. So the chorus in fact takes the whole thing quite a bit further than Rod did. And hopefully Attila will also be singing a song on very much the same subject that he wrote like 20 years ago. So it never goes out of style to burn stuff down, really. Let's see. Rodney Coronado was arrested for a speech that he gave one evening in the San Diego beach. He stated his opinions, they sounded just like mine now. They want to put him behind bars till 2029. What's that other verse now? Oh gosh, it's getting, I'm just fucking up all over the place, and I just started it. Where'd that go? Oh, was that it? Oh, yeah. The prosecutor said the problem was the speech showed intent. I couldn't figure out exactly what that meant. You can't describe an action, say you thought that it was swell. So what'll happen when we see this? Who the heck can tell? But we don't like the condo and we're gonna burn it down. Corporate terrorists, drive them out of town. We'll bring a lot of gasoline, pour it on the floor, light a match, say a prayer, and run right out the door. Burn it down, burn it down. We're going to burn it down, burn it down, burn it down, burn it down. You got it? Now if you just sang that chorus, then you just broke the law to be an eco-terrorist. Now you just gotta flap your jaw and hey, who knows, by the time you have a chance to blink, whether you're a criminal might depend on what you think. But we don't like the bulldozer, we're gonna burn it down. Corporate terrorists, drive them out of town. We'll bring a lot of gasoline, pour it on the floor, light a match, say a prayer, and run right out the door. Burn it down, burn it down. We're going to burn it down, burn it down, burn it down, burn it down. Lovely. Now they come for Rod, maybe next they'll come for you. And I'll tell you what I think all of us should do. Sing the song with me, raise your fist and caterwaul. If we fight together, they can't arrest us all. Cause we don't like the Walmart and we're gonna burn it down. Corporate terrorists, drive them out of town. We'll bring a lot of gasoline, pour it on the floor, light a match, say a prayer, and run right out the door. Burn it down, burn it down. We're going to burn it down, 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 burn it down. We're going to burn it down, burn it down, burn it down, burn it down. Well, I have to make a big billboard with the, you know, the whole chorus, because it's a little hard to learn right away. And you have to talk about the gasoline in order to actually break the law. I'm not sure if probably we're going to burn it down is no, it's not quite specific enough, I imagine. I don't know. I was wondering about like the precedent and stuff and like how it worked legally. Like when I wrote a song about assassinating President Bush, I, you know, clearly, have, you know, the song advocates this idea. And but I was talking to a constitutional lawyer, I know, and he was saying that, in fact, the precedent is that as long as you don't say, like, I'm planning on assassinating the president next week at noon with such and such a weapon or whatever, like, you can't actually make plans. That's where you're stepping over the line. You can express the desire to do so, and that's protected speech in theory. But I don't know how. Yeah, there is a certain date that I've been advocating we start the revolution. It keeps on changing, so I don't know, you know, because I get stood up every time, you know. But you know, eventually. Yeah, it just, I keep on trying to start it, but, you know, you can't. It takes a little bit of other, you know, cooperation. Well, let's see. I don't know anybody in Santa Cruz who owns a hot tub. Do you? Oh, okay, come on, we're talking after the show. Good. Good, good. Does it hold a few people? Or is it, yeah? Oh, all right, great. Driving down the highway with a frost morning dew. It reminds me of a feeling and a place that I once knew. There's a dozen gigs behind me, a dozen more to come before I get to see you and I can get me some. My last roaches have been smoked and I don't know what to do. Oh, to be in California in a hot tub with a blunt and you. What's up with the kids today? I just don't know, they don't party like they used to. Where did the hippies go? Organizing is a virtue. Yes, for goodness sake, but I wonder what they do when it's time to take a break. My last roaches have been smoked and I don't know what to do. Oh, to be in California in a hot tub with a blunt and you. Revolution's around the corner, and I hope you know the way. But what happens when we win? I wonder what you'd say. Do we have a house of worship? Do we have a family? Is there a hot tub on the commons? Is that a guitar on your knee? My last roaches have been smoked, and I don't know what to do. Oh, to be in California in a hot tub with a blunt and you. What me and Attila have been doing on this West Coast tour, as actually we've been doing on most all of our gigs on both sides of the Atlantic, is we kind of divide things up into four sets where we each do two sets. And so I'm going to do one more song, then Attila's going to come up, and then we'll take a break and do it all over again. And then we'll go find a beer in a hot tub, I think is the plan. Well, some of us, I don't know, haven't managed to get everybody into the hot tub yet, but... This is sort of riffing off of one of the songs they did earlier. I'm from Guanajuato. That's where I was born. For 1,000 years, that's where my family grew the corn. Farming's what we lived by. Farming's what we knew. Then the gobierno signed NAFTA, and our farming days were through. I had to leave the village, there was no other way. I had to find work somewhere, or starve if I should stay. In Ciudad de Mexico, I tried to survive, but the colonias were full. There was no way to stay alive. I went to Tijuana, the maquila factories. Saw people living by the sewage, dying on their knees. It was then in desperation I knew I had to go. Leave the country I was born in, the only one I know. Across the unknown deserts to the other side. Around the wall that stretches on 100 miles wide. I trudged on for days. I don't know how far I got, but I never knew in all my life the sun could be so hot. My feet had turned to blisters, my water bag run dry. I thought about mi madrecita as I looked up at the sky. I lay down for the last time, parched upon the ground. Maybe someday my body will be found. Eaten by the vultures, bones bleached in the sun. Maybe I'll go to heaven if there is one. I guess someone in California who wants to keep their fields green will have to find another Mexican to keep their dishes clean. Thank you.